It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
It's us, y'all. Unknown Preacher LA, Tatiana, and your boy LA, aka Lonzo. What is happening, T?
Well, you know, just living the dream. I've barely made it through the day. Happy I made it through the day. It was a late night. How are you?
I am great, man. I'm great. You said you just finished the pit. What did you think? Is this spoiler alert? Should I say spoiler alert first?
Yeah, you should, because if people are not watching The Pit or if they have not watched the episode, we're actually a little behind, though, because that episode dropped on the 9th. So if you are watching The Pit, like, hopefully you've watched that episode by now.
I just want to talk about one thing, but the Robbie factor, you and I have. Now, you saw this last episode. He was being harsh on Dr. J.
Wait, which one is that? Oh, because of the social media?
Yeah. Not even looking at himself. He didn't even take the time to watch her.
Would you have, if one of your employees was taking videos on the clock and posting them about being a cop, you'd be like, let me see what exactly, really? Yes. You wouldn't just say now is not a good time to be recording videos for your social media while you're on the clock.
So I have people who work with me who listen to this show. I guarantee you they will confirm. I'm going to have them reach out.
Please don't.
I never jump to conclusions on stuff like that now.
Not jumping to conclusions. I'm just saying, while you are on the clock,
beating her up without getting facts. He doesn't know.
Wouldn't beat her up.
There's a real line between freedom of speech and then your job putting regulations in place. So you have to be careful before you even infringe on someone's constitutional rights. So absolutely I will watch to make certain, because everything that I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like she violated any real policy.
Okay, first of all, I don't think that he said two things. He said, one, be careful with your social media because of HIPAA. And she said, I'm not doing anything that's a HIPAA violation, so that's fine. Like, I think that was an appropriate thing for him to say as a supervisor. And second, he said, and then when she said, I haven't violated any HIPAA violations, he said, well, can you get back to work and not be on your social media while you are on the company's time? Those are both two appropriate things to say to her. Like, you should not be recording videos, both. You should not be recording videos while you're on the clock. If you can record about being a doctor or whatever you want to do. And then I said both. Like, I think it was appropriate for him to just say, like, just be careful, like, don't mention any patients or whatever. You're recording while you're in the ED. Like,
it's offensive. He already jumped to the conclusion. She has enough sense to understand what HIPAA is. She knows that.
I don't think it was offensive. I think as the supervisor, you need to be making sure that the people who you're reporting to are not doing anything, because that's going to fall back on you as well, because she's doing this while she is in the ER. So if you didn't say something, knowing that she was reporting and she did make a slip up, now it's on both of y'all, because you allowed it to go on.
So you're a college professor. If I said, T, before you lecture your students, I need you to make certain you read the material or understand the matter.
That's not offensive. The same at all.
That's not offensive to you? Is that offensive?
That's not the same at all. That's not the same at all. What I think would be a similar relationship is if I had a social media account where I was talking about professorial stuff and somebody said, okay, like, just be careful that while you are while you're online talking about stuff, that you don't make any FERPA violations. That's a parallel thing. Telling me not to make sure that I know the material I'm lecturing is not a parallel thing.
Okay, so FERPA, that's offensive.
That's not offensive. I would not be offended by that.
Do you know about FERPA?
Yes.
Okay, so why would someone have to tell a college professor about FERPA?
Just, first of all, I definitely think that I absolutely believe that I have some colleagues, or have had some colleagues, not in my current department necessarily. that I have had some colleagues who would violate something like that. And even though we're all supposed to know, and I would absolutely not be offended if my department chair said, like, hey, while you're doing it. And matter of fact, similar situation, there actually was a scenario in which I was in a department at a university, and a faculty member was posting things on their private social media that was about things, and it ended up falling back on the university, the comments that this person was making, and it became a whole issue, and the dean had to send out an email and remind people how to comport themselves on even your private social media account. And
was
so,
it a violation, though, or was it just inappropriate?
To be honest, I don't actually know what the person even said. I didn't see the post. Like, apparently everybody was like talking about it, and so it was like a discussion. And so when the email came out, they sent it as though everybody already knew what was going on. I personally did not know what's going on. I did not see the post, so I can't say what it was. But the point is, like, whatever it, when the dean like reminded us, it was something that somebody could say, you shouldn't have to remind people because they already know this, but clearly you did have to remind us because somebody was operating as though they didn't.
But I'm you're taking the Dr. Robbie approach because you didn't see it for yourself, because your chair could be wrong, because I've seen that too. I've seen managers who've overstepped and said, hey, you can't do that, and legally they can.
He didn't say you can't do that. That's not what he said.
What did he say? Be careful.
Yes. He said, hey, I know that you're, he said, he just gave her a warning of like, just make sure that whenever you're doing this, that you're not posting anything inappropriate. He didn't say, don't post this stuff. And you're acting, so when you're talking about, oh, it's a freedom of speech violation, it's not. All he did was advise her as her supervisor that don't put anything up that could be an issue, and don't do this on the clock. And those are both appropriate things to do.
But what I'm saying is, we don't know if it was necessarily inappropriate.
It doesn't matter what she put. It doesn't matter. He didn't say, I saw this and it was inappropriate. What he said was, but I'm going to head this off at the pass and please don't.
I know. So you're supporting my argument, though, because I said,
I'm supporting Dr. Robbie's what he did.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's nothing. You don't need to see the person's social media to say, hey, I'm just letting you know, just in case, don't do X. Like, he didn't say you've done X.
But I'm going back to the origin of what you said. You said that you know that people have done things. We don't know if they've done things, though, to your point. Because you were,
what do
like,
you mean people have done things?
I was like, it's hard for me to believe that a highly educated college professor would violate FERPA. And your retort was, hey, don't be too sure about that because I know A, B, and C.
No. What I said was, no. What you said was, you know what FERPA is. Like you said, do you know what FERPA is? And I said, yes. And you said, yes. So why would you need to explain it to somebody who should know it? And I said, I know that I have had colleagues who, I didn't say that they have had a violation. I said that they might not be familiar with something that they should be familiar with. So you can't just assume because somebody is in a position that they're familiar.
But my point is, it's a mute point because you haven't seen it, though.
It doesn't, you don't need to see it. Why do you have to see the content? Because what you're acting like, no. What you're acting like is that she got, like, punished in some way. Like, if you wrote her up for doing it because you're saying you did a wrong thing and now I'm going to write you up because you did a thing, he never said you did a thing. He just said, hey, please don't do a thing.
No, I'm not.
So you don't need to see it. You don't need to see it.
Though, see, I'm talking about, you're saying, when I said someone highly educated knows what FERPA is and inappropriate content, and you said your response was, don't be too certain, and I'm paraphrasing, because it See, my retort to that is, you can't say that they went colored outside the lines because you didn't see it yourself.
I didn't say that they colored outside the lines. I said that I know that I have some colleagues who are not familiar with things they should be familiar with.
But you can't say that
just,
not familiar.
Just like he didn't say that Dr. J colored outside the lines. He just said, hey, I know that you have a social media personality that is connected to your role as a doctor. Make sure that you're not doing any HIPAA violations while you're doing those. And that is totally appropriate.
He came in there accusatory and...
No, he didn't. No.
I'm about to tell
you. You are biased because you've had issues with him all season.
You need to really take a break, get some help.
That was the one thing that bothered you this episode, or was it something else? Because that's a non-starter.
Yeah, I can't think. Now I'm so focused on him and his...
Because the one thing that I thought you were going to say was when he called out the two guys on the ambulance.
But you know what, though? He redeemed himself with them, though.
How?
The motorcycle, right? Because later on, he was like, don't worry about it. It's okay.
I'm talking about him calling them out publicly because they said, I'm not talking about that. You're talking about when they hit his motorcycle and then he said, oh, I'm not that upset. No, I'm talking about the people on the ambulance who misplaced the patches to read the lady's EKG.
Oh, or whatever. Yeah. That was a little unorthodox. I don't know why that didn't bother me as much, though, because to me, that was like a life-saving matter, like right then and there. And he was basically saying, don't be uncomfortable doing what you need to save lives.
But what they said was, you could have talked to us about this privately. And instead, he like did it in front of everybody.
I agree. But it didn't bother me as much for some reason.
You're just picking and choosing.
No, man, because everyone really did need to hear that to an extent, because honestly, a lot of men, the same with officers and searching women, there have been women who killed police officers or seriously harmed them because they didn't properly search them.
But if those particular individuals didn't do that, then you should be able to think that they would just know, that they know how to place it. You didn't actually see them misplace other things. Why does everybody else have to get seen and even get called into when you'd actually see it?
Oh, man, whatever, man.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a drop the mic moment. I know you do, but...
I'm dropping the mic right now.
Anywho. Now, this is what I do. I change the subject, so... So last week we were talking about, well, first the Kanye thing. He's from Chicago.
Oh my gosh, here you go.
No, he's from Chicago. Hey. Chicago, right?
I'm from Chicago. Kanye West.
Yeah.
I feel like we disowned him, but.
And then y'all take up Michael Jordan, because I heard a rumor that a lot of, what do y'all call y'all? Chicago Indians?
Chicagoans.
Chicagoans, that's pretty cool. All right, so
Indians.
What?
Chicagoan.
Okay, Chicagoan. All right. I heard a rumor that y'all try to claim MJ. Is that true?
That
is not.
I mean, I would ask him where he puts himself. But if somebody wanted to claim him, I would be okay with that.
No, y'all can't do that.
I mean, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I bet.
I'll be okay with that. Looking at how much of his lived life, how many years did he spend in North Carolina versus how many he spent in Chicago?
But he was born and bred in NC. He learned all there is about b-ball.
I wonder what he claims.
I bet you he claims North Carolina.
I bet you he claims Chicago.
I mean, you talking about a man who still wore UNC shorts under his jersey. So.
During the games, he did.
Huh? You didn't know that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, he always wore his UNC shorts under there.
Yeah, but I wear, like, Nebraska Cornhusker stuff. because I'm proud of my university, not because I claim to be from Nebraska.
So we gonna debate all day, man. So what about Flowers and his choice? Was it Harold's? Was that the place? The chicken spot?
He did say Harold's. I'm okay with that choice. I am okay with the choice of Harold's. I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I more frequently order chicken from JJ's, but the chicken at Harold's is better than the chicken at JJ's.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna let him have JJ's. I'm gonna let him have Harold's. That was a good choice. Like, yeah.
Now I'm curious to try this chicken, and I don't even really eat fried chicken anymore.
It's okay. Just that JJ's is a fish and chicken spot, and I like to do a fish, like a fish shrimp or a fish cat, or a chicken shrimp or a chicken catfish combo or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and their mild sauce is top tier, but the actual chicken at Harold's is better, and I really like it when they barbecue it up, like barbecue sauce, get a bucket of barbecue chicken.
So they don't accidentally mix. I went to it was this fish spot. Yeah. And they put their fries in the fish grease. It was hard.
Fries in the fish grease?
Yeah.
Boo.
I know, right?
That sounds like... are you sure it was an accident? Or they just was not being very...
I don't know, because I never... You know my motto. I don't go back. So I haven't been.
What was the place again? Or do you not want to name it?
I'm not going to name it now. I'll tell you though. You always trying to get me in trouble, man.
Do you not do that to me? I feel like you are constantly putting me in a position to say stuff that might be unpopular or get me complained about on here. Yes. Yes. Even the fact that you volunteered me to do the Church Hurt episode, I'm like, you're just asking for me to get a tag.
Did you get a tag?
No.
Exactly.
I got. But it was a setup that it could have been.
No, it really wasn't. It was a much needed episode, and we were gentle in our approach. We talked about real experiences. We never said all, and we just. Honestly, with anyone, when you have to hear that type of feedback in order to improve the process. So we improved the process. Now, the last thing, this nation divided. I went through AI and sent you because you told me I was wrong. And
you were wrong. AI literally said the same thing I said.
AI named it bullet. It didn't prioritize. It
did prioritize.
I don't remember that.
I'm about to open it right now.
Okay.
Okay.
It said I could see how strong and it listed.
Okay, so you Googled when was... Oh, you spelled it wrong. You must have did maybe talk to text, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man, go ahead.
Because it's supposed to say when was our nation most divided, but it says when was our nation. Yes.
No.
Just wanted to let the listeners know that. So you Googled, you intended to Google when was our nation most divided, and it says sentence number one. Actually, I'm just read it. The United States was most divided during the Civil War, which is what I said. The United States was most divided during the Civil War, 1861 to 1865, when the nation physically split, resulting in secession and armed conflict. Other intensely polarized periods include, and then it named some others, the 1850s leading up to the war, the Gilded Age, the late 1960s, early 70s, and the current era of heightened partisan animosity. Those are others, but when you said most, it gave you the answer of most, which is the Civil War, which is what
it depends on what you're looking at. And so,
No. You just tried to bring it to the conversation that you Googled it, and it gave you an answer, and I'm telling you the answer that it gave you was the answer that I gave you, and now you're up here, well, it depends on the thing. No, you can't just make a broad statement
like that, because it depends on a lot of factors. So the heightened political partisan piece has, we have never been this divided as far as political parties. And so usually you have the same intentions, but different routes. And
you're crazy.
I'm not. You would sit and listen. I've had those conversations with you before. I've said, both parties would sit and talk to one another and, you know, really share their philosophy or their approach.
You're over here trying to add a caveat. Well, in terms of the political discourse, that makes it, but that's not what you said before. That's not what you Googled. And I would also argue that the war also had a political party affiliation connected to it. So even then, it's still a no.
But no, because if you really get deep into, see, now we're going to do some, it'll be a black.
You're not getting deep into it. You just wanted to bring this back without telling me that you were going to bring this up on air, mind you. Here you are yet again trying to blindside me.
I'm not trying to
blindside. Yet again. You didn't say anything about, we talked about what were we going to discuss today. And we've been on 20 minutes. We didn't even talk about what we said we were going to talk about because you wanted to blindside me with other stuff.
I did not want to blindside you. All right, let's go into the subject because it was your baby. You thought of it. I thought it was a good idea.
Okay. I wanted to just talk about, am I allowed to name some of the examples?
Yeah. I mean, well, you're naming them. I don't see anything wrong with that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I wanted to talk about, like, well, you reworded it into being ride or die for your spouse, even when they've been caught doing something that's not good. Like, either that's not good legally or that's not good socially or morally or even maybe faith-wise, or even if it's not that it's not good, it's just extremely embarrassing. Yeah. And, like, how much responsibility can you place with the spouse of the person who has been caught doing whatever the thing is? And like, if you are with somebody and you do know that they're engaging in activities that are untoward, given that you're supposed to, like, you have these vows with your spouse that are above, you know, all of these other connections that you might have with people, like, is that even the appropriate way to be? So most recently we had in the news this week, was it Pam Bondi's husband?
And see, I didn't know about it. You don't have to share anything about I remember you mentioned, but I didn't know.
I thought you were listening to the...
So Tap-In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. There's three features that come with Tap-In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
Talked about it as well.
I didn't.
Maybe you didn't hear that one. Yeah. Well, I think that was her. Now I'm going to have to, her husband was like, see, and there was a name for it, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. But anyway, basically likes to dress up like really overdone women. And so, like, in his case, it's some sort of fetish, and he was, like, putting balloons in his shirt to look like really big breasts, and, like, you try to, like, do big hair and makeup, and, like, it's this whole thing.
Wow.
And it came out, and people are like, basically, this feels hypocritical because of how much you and your community are so against notions of like cross-dressing or whatever, but then you're actually secretly doing this while you're demonizing people and whatever, whatever. And like, this is just an example of like, she's actually not the person who was engaging even in that activity, but she's getting the heat for it.
Gotcha. Interesting. Give me another one, and then we'll talk break them down. You named like three or four, I think. That's a
well,
good
one. Yeah. Well, one of them was fake because one of the other TV shows that you and I like to watch, The Rookie, there was this episode where I think they were having some kind of community drive. And so they were asking people in the community, like, to bring in crime tips to, like, you know, investigate issues in the community. And a lot of times stuff that people would bring in was like not anything of seriousness. But one woman was like, I think my husband was a, I don't know if he was a serial killer or a serial rapist or something like that. She's like, I found this box of, you know how, like, they'll keep a memento to, like, look, a trophy. She found this box of trophies. It was, like, underwear and women's ID. And she turned it over to the police and was like, you know, but she waited to bring the issue to the police until he was dead. Like, she was suspicious while he was alive, but she waited to report on it until he had passed away.
Yeah.
And then they found out that he actually was, like, on a crime spree and hurting all kinds of women or whatever. So that was one of them, even though it's not a real example. And then Andrew Gillum, you know, he had that whole embarrassing situation when he was running for governor and was found naked and passed out and drugged out after he was set up in that scenario. He was set up, but he was like swiping on, you know, gay dating apps. And found himself into a situation. He's still married to his wife. That was like 6 years ago or mm-hmm. 8 years ago or something like that. And she still, you know, stayed with him or whatever. And then I just was thinking about, like, you know, I didn't put this in my example, but like Hillary Clinton with this whole Bill Clinton is named in the Epstein files thing, and they keep bringing Hillary into it and questioning her all about it. And she wasn't, you know, it wasn't her, it was her spouse, but she's getting, you know, they're both getting heat, but she's getting heat as well. Just so many different examples, I feel like, of this, where, you know, is it your duty to absorb the responsibility for stuff like this?
Yeah,
because you're married.
I think you gave some great examples. I do think there are like two categories. Like, you know, knowingly, like, you know, your partner did A, B, and C, and then you stay, you're attached to them, or they do this and it's revealed and then you find out. Like, there are two different approaches, but, then you go deeper. If is it criminal or is it inappropriate? Because I'm sitting here thinking this is like a really complex question. Like, I don't know. Like, because I try to put myself in their shoes, and it just depends. Like, I can't see myself calling and saying, "Hey, you know, my wife just did A, B, and C. Come and arrest her." And I think that's one of the reasons why, like, in this country, we say that you're not compelled to testify against your spouse for that same reason. Because y'all won, right? Y'all are really, that's the whole idea behind it. Like, what do you think?
Wait, so if your spouse was like a serial killer, you would just let it ride?
I didn't say let it ride. See, now you're talking about a whole different...
Well, that was the situation on The Rookie.
Yeah.
Well, but I will say, in her case, she found the trophies or whatever, and she, like, was suspicious. She said he would, like, bring home gifts that and have her wear them, that it was like, where did you get this, or stuff like that. And so she was suspicious that something was going on, and she just didn't look any further. Like, her instinct was telling her, and she just did not find more information because she didn't want to know. So I will say that, like, she didn't, it wasn't confirmed until after she eventually turned it in after his death, what he was actually doing. But, like, I think if my spouse was a serial killer, I would.
Yeah, serial killer. I mean, you threw that one on me. I'm thinking, like you just said, dressing like, or, you know, a woman, some fetish.
Oh, yeah, that I probably would. I wouldn't put them in blast.
Or she stole some M&Ms at Walmart, you know,
I don't even need to put anybody on blast if they're not your spouse for that.
I'm just saying that. I mean, But serial killer, you're right. You're talking about harming other people. It's egregious. Absolutely. Man, I'm just trying to see.
I feel like, sorry. I looked it up. It's not Pam Bondi's husband. It's Christy Noem's husband.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know about any of this. Okay, thanks for telling me.
Okay, so anyway.
So do you think are you saying in her case she still denounce what he's done?
No, I'm not saying she should do anything. I'm asking the question, is it fair that this is falling onto her when she actually wasn't?
I personally don't know if I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna go another route. Well, you gave good examples about women too, who like,
oh, here's the word. It's called bimbofication. That's what they call this thing that he's doing.
I learned something. I'm just gonna say, if a woman did something like that, do we blame the, I don't really think if it were the other way around, they would be blaming the husband.
If your wife was out doing what?
Dressing up or whatever this husband did. Dress like a...
I don't think they would blame, but I think that they, that there would be like, I do think that he would be mocked publicly.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, like,
they would probably be questioning. I feel like people would also be questioning, like, if he's really handling what he needs to handle as a spouse. If your wife is out here engaging in untoward activities, I do.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, loyalty is big, but even that has limits, right? It's like, And I guess it depends on everyone's threshold. What are your limits? We already agreed the limits for us, serial killer.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely. I would absolutely agree. And I feel like you've told me, I think one time you and I were having a conversation about, like, it might have been a different maybe TV show that we were watching, and maybe, like, somebody's husband was like raping girls or something like that, and they didn't like say anything about their, or they didn't, when somebody like brought the issue to the wife, they were like refusing to help, and like they were trying to, you know, protect him from accountability for this or whatever. And I asked you, like, if that was you and your wife, and you were like, there's no way that she would try to. I feel like you said something like, there's no way she would like try to help me get away with something like that. So I feel like there's a limit.
Yeah. Yeah. I but part of me thinks it's a shame too, that you throw the heavy burden on the spouse sometimes, who's, cause you got to remember they're going through the trauma too. I mean, maybe not to the extent, depending on what offense was done or made, but they're going through their own trauma of betrayal and finding out that their spouse is someone they didn't know, usually.
Yeah.
If they didn't know. Now, if they know, that's a whole different ball game too. And that happens.
How does that change the game?
Because they're just as guilty.
Yeah.
If it's, well, one, the criminal aspect of it, if it's, you know, they're committing crimes and you know about it, I will say you're just as guilty. If they have some secret fetish or something going on, I don't know if I would use the word guilty, but they're just not—they're not going to experience trauma the same way as someone who didn't know, who was left in the dark as well,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that would just be a really sick union.
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder how that, like, how do you, I feel like it's more so, I'm sure there's real cases, but I see stuff like that, like on fictional TV shows, this crazy couple who are like jointly engaged in some sort of really crazy sick stuff. And it's like, how did you end up in this partner?
I don't know.
You need to check yourself. But if you, but if you, if you are not involved in doing it, but you are just like maybe, I don't know. Like another example from The Rookie, there was that serial killer guy, and what is her name? I want to say Harper. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Harper.
Yeah, when she was like really intent on catching this serial killer guy, and she like talks to his wife during that, during the these fires, these wildfires that are breaking out, and the wife is just like not, you know, playing ball or whatever. If you're not participating in it on the side of your spouse instead of the side of these others, I'm gonna bring in a scripture that I don't know where it comes from in the Bible, and you, but you know, Steve Harvey always likes to say that you're supposed to forsake all others and cleave to your spouse. Is that in keeping with that?
No, no. I mean, because, I mean, seriously, because the Bible makes it clear that you're wrongdoing is wrongdoing, and you don't cover up any of that. And there are exceptions to divorce. Most of the time we talk about infidelity, but anything that's a form of betrayal, anything that's breaking the covenant you made with your spouse is grounds for divorce. So if it's grounds for divorce, then you have no obligation to say, hey, I'm sticking with you, I'm ride or die no matter what. You don't have
so murdering or torturing other people is breaking the covenant with your spouse?
So, man, that's a good question. That is a real good question. Let me process that, because that's a good one. Because I was actually thinking more about the abuse towards you or the lie. So if you, and I'm kind of flying off the seat of my pants, I'll acknowledge that, but I think you can argue, and then we're going to have to follow up on this, but if they are doing something that treacherous, that is breaking your covenant with your spouse, I think you can argue that because of the hardship and the heartache that you're causing them. But I'm going to do some research.
We'll revisit this another time.
I don't ever want to give the wrong information. Because listening to myself say it and listening in my heart, I cannot imagine that our God, a God, a loving God, would condone you standing by someone who's doing something so evil.
Right.
I can't wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is going to, we're going to talk about this. We'll come back to that.
Okay. Let's put a pin in it.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Maybe it's a good time to talk about the guest then.
There you go. See?
All right.
So, my man has been holding it down. He's been on a number of events that I promoted. And he actually has created this environment where some of my friends and relatives, and when they come by and they say, it's the unknown preacher. He is the voice behind the unknown preacher. Gospel, hip hop, sensation. My man Miles B, he's on several of my tracks of my upcoming album. Long overdue. Should have had him on a long time ago. What do you think, T?
I think this is going to be exciting. I didn't know who that was on the theme song.
Yeah.
So now we will get to know the person behind the voice.
Yeah, really cool, brother, too. And you and I are, so his producer for his songs and my producer are one and the same. And you introduced me to
Grayson?
Yep.
Oh,
that's the connector. Okay. Yeah, Grayson introduced me to him when I first was given the vision for the podcast, I reached out to Grayson and said, hey, man, I want to, you know, you can produce this. And next thing you know, he let me hear it. Well, I did my own whack vocals intentionally. But if you listen to like the first season, maybe the first 3 or 4 episodes, you get, yeah. But
you did the vocals yourself? What?
Oh.
I am going to go back and listen to that. And also, what were you thinking? You should have even, like, even before right now, you should have went back and edited those episodes and put the new theme in there.
No, I want people to see the evolution of the show.
Oh, wow.
But there was a huge statement in that.
That's going to be a great laugh for me later.
It is. But he put Miles on and he let me hear Miles' version. And I was like, man, who's that? And then ever since then, man, the first event I promoted, I put him on. And ever since, he's been on a number of programs. So really, really righteous brother.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm super excited to hear this.
Yeah. And as always, I appreciate you. I appreciate the subject. We're going to pencil that and come back to it next time around.
Okay, sounds good.
See you today. See you, Micah. Hey, brother, how are you?
How you doing? I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, I had a question. So on our show, the question was posed by Tatiana, like, how far do you go under the principle or the concept of ride and die with your spouse? And digging a little deeper, the scenario was when your spouse commits like a heinous act or a crime, we already know, like, if there's infidelity or something like that, that you can walk away from that marriage. But if they did something like, say, they seriously harmed someone or even murdered someone or like that, what is that spouse obligated to do? And those are they obligated to stand by them? Understanding the principle is we are now one. And so I think that's where the challenge is. What would you say to that?
That's a good question, man. That's a real good question. Have you read anything or looked up anything to see what the general consensus is?
I have not yet, but I planned on doing it. But I wanted to make certain, because you're one of the brothers I know and trust.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to take the easy way out, but we can both crack it open and I can start that process too. But yeah. I just knew it was us. But that was one that I was like, that's a really challenging question. And I think when we do dig in it, you're going to find scripture that probably supports maybe a path out, but you're going to probably also find scripture that talks about staying there too, or gives the hint of staying in that marriage. But I think it's one of those, we probably need to have an episode. At your time, I'm going to have you on if you can, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
we'll talk about this.
And,
sooner than later.
I would have to look that up, but I think that if somebody commits a heinous crime, let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't stay in a marriage if you getting beat up.
Yeah, that's what I exactly.
Why would you stay in something where you're being harmed.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that if somebody commits a crime and you're staying with them, that's an emotional.
Yeah.
That's an emotional episode that is taking toll on you. And of course, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know if a husband can testify against the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know if that, I don't know that those circumstances.
Yeah.
So, but if somebody were to commit a crime and they bring an emotional instability into a marriage where that person would not be able to be trusted.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't say it's infidelity, but it's certainly breaking bonds that you're supposed to have of trust and things like that. You know, so that's how I feel about that. But somebody's gonna say support it with scripture.
Yeah.
Somebody would say support it with scripture. You know, but I just have to look it up a little bit, you know. Yeah. How much emotional harm and how much, well, you're not doing, you haven't necessarily done physical harm to that person, but you place an emotional instability in there.
Yeah.
And why would you live in circumstances of a lie?
Exactly.
You know, that's still somewhat of a lie, because maybe when you married the person, they seemed a certain way,
mm-hmm.
But then down the line you found out you found out totally different, that the person wasn't whom they said they were, which all together is, you know, that's another lie right there.
Yeah.
So you have emotional instability. And certainly I wouldn't, if that depends on the person. If the person there's two things you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You can forgive a person without going back to
them.
That's
right. That's exactly right.
You don't have to go back to a person just because you gave to them. You can separate from somebody and forgive them without having to go back to them. You forgive them for that particular thing that they did, but you don't trust them for something ahead, so you move for your stability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you move for your sake, and so that, you know, like I said, you know, that can happen in just a friendship.
Yeah.
You can forgive somebody for something, but not necessarily have to move along with them and stay with them and go with them. You know, but you have forgiven them. You have forgiven them, and you let them know. And it also frees you up.
Yeah.
It also frees you up from holding malice and holding a grudge within yourself, maybe what somebody did to you. So I think that the same thing can happen in marriage, you know, where there is that emotional instability that is just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I was reading, you can be forgiven of your sins.
Yeah.
But the sin that you committed,
justice,
can't be undone.
That's right.
And justice still might be served.
Exactly.
You know, so, we talked about God as being a God of mercy and a God of justice. So if you commit, then we just go to the highest. If you commit murder,
mm-hmm.
you can be forgiven of murder, but the sin can't be undone.
That's right.
You know, and justice still has to take place.
Yeah.
You know, so justice would be served through a legal system, which you may say it's ordained. It's mm-hmm. ordained by God. You know, that there is justice there.
Yeah.
For instance, there was justice when David committed adultery and then he had Bathsheba's husband, you know, Uriah, sat on the front line,
mm-hmm.
and then the soldiers pulled back, and he was killed. But he was standing, he was so just, Uriah was so more just that even David had to say he's more just than he was. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so he committed that. And then when Bathsheba got pregnant, you know, they lost that first child.
Yeah.
And Bathsheba will always be known as Uriah's wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not David's wife, even though he married her,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was dead. But she will forever be known as Uriah's wife.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily, I don't know if you can necessarily blame everything on Bathsheba, because David was an authority.
Yeah.
It was almost like David was taking, how do you say it, when a boss,
mm-hmm.
does something to their employer, you know.
Power dynamic.
What is that?
Yeah, it's a huge power dynamic.
Right. So David was forgiven. He, you know, when Nathan came to him, mm-hmm. and told him what he did.
Yep.
Yeah, he went to God. And God told him he was forgiven, but there was a price that he had to pay. And the price went way down the line, mm-hmm. into his family, mm-hmm. into his family, his sons. First of all, his son, when one of the daughter got raped, you know, David didn't really do a whole lot about that. And so the other brother, you know, sought justice on the brother that raped his sister, you know. And it was almost as if David wasn't doing anything, as if he was feeling like, oh, man, I did the same thing and I'm in the same boat. And he backed off on what he did.
Yeah.
The point is, which is what I said from the top, you know, you can be forgiven of a sin, but that does not erase the sin itself. Yeah. It erases it out of your it there is the forgiveness, but there is also the reaping of the sin that you committed.
Amen. You actually helped me way more than you know you did, but when you were talking about the emotional distress and all that, and I couldn't remember if it was Corinthians or Romans, but I know Paul talked about you know, how we're supposed to live in peace. And so we do have a path to disconnect from that. I just gotta, to your point, everything you said, I'm in total agreement. I think this is very, very helpful. You helped me. I do want you to come on, Pastor Campbell. I want us to dig deep on, because like you said, people are going to ask for scripture to support it. But I think just based on your conversation, you've already... Now it's just a matter of digging into that. Like I said, you gave a good example with King David, and then when you talked about the emotional distress behind it, I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I always get mixed up between Corinthians and Romans, but I know Paul talked about living in peace and But yeah, I'll dig into that. And Pastor Campbell, I thank you so much. This was definitely a nugget. You added to the conversation because I thought it was a great question Tatiana posed. And I was like, you know, just trying to, you know, the logic. I wanted the logic to connect with the biblical scripture to support. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, man. One other thing, man, is so Job, the book of Job, you know, so Job's wife, you know, we don't really read of Job's wife until, you know, she feels for Job so much that she does not want him to suffer anymore. You know, she doesn't want him to suffer, and the only way that she feels like he could get out of his suffering is to curse God.
Yeah.
You know, to curse God and die. And he says, well, you sound like a foolish woman. You sounding foolish or like a foolish woman. And, you know, I never looked up what the foolish woman was.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what he meant by that. However, we never see him curse God.
Yeah.
But he does question God.
Yeah.
He does question God, and then after his friends, you know, beat up on him. You know, and say, you must have sinned somewhere. You did something wrong. His friend would love to tell you the story. You know, the winds came and took everything, and your livestock is dead. Everything is dead, and your children are dead.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these boils come on. I think it got to him to his wife, when the children died, and when he got sick also at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I can't answer that question.
No.
I would not put that. I don't even want to put that out there. That's just a thought, you know, because you don't want to ever put into a text what is not there. That's called eisegesis. You want to extract from the text.
Yeah.
Which is called exegesis. You know, you do eisegesis and you're really creating your own scripture and everything. You're creating a story that's not true. You know, and so, you know, when preachers say, in my sanctified imagination, they have to be careful when they say that.
Yeah.
You know, the sanctified imagination, they're trying to paint a picture. But you got to make sure that you paint it with the right brush and with the right paint, you know, what I mean? And you have the right stroke.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you can lead somebody astray.
And that's why I love how you present it. Like, like I was saying, it always seems like when you hear the story of Joe, they do that little bit of you do a little spotlight on the wife saying, you know,
yeah, a little spotlight.
You know, curse God so you'll die, and she's kind of demonized, but you really just shed light on her loving him. Yeah, she loves him so much. That's why she's
exactly.
So I like
that's
how you,
what I
yeah.
That's what I see. I don't see her acting as if she was a woman just trying to get everything. Yeah. You know, and then she loses everything. No, I see it more of she loved him so much that she didn't want him to suffer. And that happens even now.
Yeah.
That happens even now with people, you know, they see somebody suffering so much that they may say, Lord, let them go away gently or, you know, or something like that. Please don't let them suffer anymore. You know, that happens now.
Amen.
You know, it is the Job story is a now story as it was then. And it will always be, it will be something that you can look at.
Amen.
for the rest of eternity till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
All right, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. This is great.
Okay.
We're going to schedule for you to come on, and we're going to really dig deep into this, man. But I appreciate your words of spiritual wisdom, and I appreciate you more than you know, brother.
All right, so we're still on for the fifth?
Yep, we're still on.
Okay.
All right, Pastor Campbell. All right,
man. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Right.
Hey guys, I'm happy to share with you that we are hosting a STEM hip hop camp for the town of Fuquay. You go on their website for the town of Fuquay and register for BAM. BAM stands for Building Molecule. Kids will have the opportunity to build neurotransmitters, amino acids, DNA strands with their friends, listening to music, learning the chemistry that's in the music that they listen to. Go register. We'll have some fun together. And also on our website, you can follow us at www.brainstemology.com as well as manifest.com. And follow me on my Instagram page, Professor DOC Scholar, and you'll be able to learn everything about our programming, our summer camps, and even our gear, our clothes, our hoodies, our hats. That's all hip-hop related, STEM related. For the family, for everyone. And I'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Beautiful people, we are back. Man, let me tell you, I should have had my brother back on sooner than later. I am so happy to have gospel singer, gospel rapper. And as I said with my girl T, he is the voice. Unknown preacher. I hear that all the time. They say it, man. Every time I run into friends, family, listeners of the show. And man, in his own words, he's from Baltimore, Maryland. He used to be a dope boy, now a hope boy. Well, man, my main man, Miles B. What's up, brother?
What's up? What's going on, man? How's it do? What it do?
It does well, my brother. So glad to have you on, man. Long overdue, man. I've been talking about doing this, and so I'm just happy to have you. And I told the listeners before the commercial break, you know, we got some surprises in store. We collabed on some songs, man.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to hurry up and push that out, man. So
thank you
again, brother.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I appreciate you, my brother, for having me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So let's talk about, man, first, you know, you always want to ask about the artist, the guest, what you do. But when did you first realize God was calling you to gospel music, and not just the talent, but the assignment?
Honestly, one day I was leaving like the library, and it was at night, and I'm in my car, and God was just like, yo, this is what you're going to be doing. So, like, I always did, like, music, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? So once I got saved, once I gave my life to Christ, I got introduced to, back then it was called Holy Hip Hop.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. So I got introduced, I got my homie Sake from around the way. I grew up with mm-hmm. him, and he was saved, and he was rapping, and my boy Taff at my church was rapping and make beats. So I got up with them, and that's my first time ever hearing, you know, this wave of gospel music. I was like, yo, I was on it, yeah. You know? So yeah. I was just doing, and then I went to a show in Wilmington. These guys, they had like they had Bob Marley shirts on and stuff at the church, just rapping about, turning up about God. And I was like, well, shoot, I do this anyway. Just, you know, switch up the content, you know? And, yeah. So I was doing it, you know, but I didn't know it was going to be at this, you know, being like this, you know. I thought I was, you know, just doing it or whatever, I was doing praise and worship at my church, you know, but nothing like this. And then one night, man, God just told me, he said, yo, this is what you're going to be doing. This is what you need to be focused on. And I keep asking him, you know, like, are you sure, God? You know, yeah. I can do it. You know, I can do this. I can keep doing what I'm doing, do praise and worship, you know, go to school, be a social worker and everything, and keep it moving. But, you know, every time I questioned him, he gave me a song to write. So I said, okay, well, cool then, you know. And I've been doing it ever since.
I love that story, man. And it's funny, like, all the, just about, I can't think of one gospel rap artist that I've spoken to, and myself included, where we mm-hmm. talk about like how, you know, the transition, and all of us were like doing secular in the beginning, and but it just speaks to God's purpose, man. Like down mm-hmm. the road, he has a plan. We don't see it, you know. We're you know, developing our craft in the midst of the, we're in the lion's den with all these, you know, skillful artists, and we're developing it. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to go to war for Christ, we're ready, man. So
ready. When he told, was it Peter, John, and James, I think?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was like, yo, you fishermen, right?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna make you fishers of men.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the gift, you know, Satan don't give gifts, you know. God gives the gifts and the talent. So it was already in us to do it, but he, like you just said, he's gonna cultivate it and say, okay, you know, you do it this way, but I need you to, that same gift, I need you to do it this way, you know.
Yeah. Amen. But yeah. He's stretching us. He's pushing us, man.
Our
own capacity. So, but let me ask you this. So what's think of a recent moment where God corrected or stretched you personally?
I mean, honestly, man, he caressed me every day. I'm just he caressed me every day, you know. He corrected me and stretched me every day. Every day is faith living, man. They call me I'm Hope, Mr. Hope Boy, for you know. So every day is living on faith. Every day he corrects me about different things. You know. It's hard to say just one, because he corrects me all the time, you know, about faith, about, you know, especially doing what we're doing, you know.
So especially is there a song? Doing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
Just ask, is there a song you've written that came from, you know, some of that, okay, that pain or that, that, or
oh, yeah,
stretch? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I mean, a majority of all my songs, but like, I got a song called Wanna Change. Mm-hmm. You know, it's out. It's out on YouTube, you know, go check it out. But it's a song called Wanna Change, how much I wanted to change my ways, you know, like, you know better, but you don't do better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think I got a song, man. And this is crazy that it just came up, because I just, God just reintroduced me to this song, mm-hmm, that I wrote. And it's called I'm Not Alone. You know, it's like, no, I'm not alone, you know, because you the one that's holding on to me to let me know I'm not alone. It's because like I, you know, you keep feeling that I'm alone, you know, feel like you're the only one that's going through it, you know, but God is telling me like, if you still here, that means you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in spite of everything you went through, you also went through it and you didn't go through it by yourself. So that was something that really kind of, you know, instead of me walking as a victim, I had to learn how to walk as a victor, you know.
Amen. I love that answer. And what, I can't even count how many programs you've been on that we promoted and you were right there. I've always been impressed how you captivated the audience. And I tell you, man, because you have a way of like really connecting with them and they can relate to what you're delivering. How do you balance the music that's authentic versus what people want to hear?
Man, you just have to trust God.
Yeah.
And you have to trust God and know that whatever he put in you, you know what I mean, it's going to be okay. It's going to be right, you know. When you're passionate about something, and not only am I not passionate about, you know, ministering, I'm passionate about being obedient.
Yeah.
And if God called me to do this, you know, then you give it your all, trusting in him that he will do the rest, you know? So it's hard. It can be difficult. I'm gonna give you a quick story, Crystal. I ain't gonna hold you. Just a little quick story. So I used to be very, you know, meticulous into what I dress, right?
Yeah.
Like I love to dress. That's what, you know, I'm an 80s baby. That's what we do, you know. Yeah. So I'd be so caught up in like, yo, I gotta get this outfit, right? I gotta get this right, you know, that I started, this is no lie, like this is like the last couple of years, I started to say, look, if I can't figure out what I'm gonna wear like in 20 minutes before I go crazy, I'm just gonna put anything on, just go out there, because it's not about me, it's about God.
Yeah.
This is real talk. So like whenever I pray, I said, God, what you want me to, like, what type of, like, what do you want me to, cause I got a whole lot of music. So I'm like, God, what do you want me to sing? You know what I mean? I always, you know, what do you want me to do? And I practice it, and I just have to let go and just let God, because it's not about, you know, God is first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is first, man. So it's, but yeah. We
I'm saying myself included, because I will be this guy who's thinking about everything and perfectionist on so many different things.
And oh yeah,
yeah. I went to your point, like if I know there's an event, I'm already like weeks away thinking about what I'm wearing, and that's crazy. When I hear you hear your story is like making me feel crazy. Like I gotta do better, man.
You go ahead.
Brother, I wanna hear.
No. I'm saying, so if I go to any of your events and you see me with some Crocs on or something, just know I had that experience. And before I lose my mind, Lord, I'm just gonna put this on. if you see me wearing all black or whatever, you just know.
See, you might be the confirmation, because I've been thinking about letting my hair grow out
and
having this really kinky, and bald spot and all, the George Jefferson look. With some flip flops and some color shorts, man.
Hey, that was the message, man.
It's been riding for a while too.
Hey, man. Do it, man. You don't got nothing to lose. Hey, do it. Hey, man. You see, you know, Chico Beans. Shout out DC. You know, Chico Beans, man. He got people out here, you know, that's confident in the George Jefferson. You know, when he got it braided, got the boys out here confident.
Yeah, what a statement, man.
Yeah. But it, 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 it
okay. beautiful.
Is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25
back. No, I was just saying that when you just, I was just picking back what you said, it's a statement. And yeah. And that is, and that's, honestly, that's true. You'd be surprised how many pastors, how many people that is, that has a great platform on what they, you know, what they going to wear, yeah. You know, or how they look,
yeah.
You know, and everything. Like, I'm just learning. Like, I used to, like, for real, cause like I said, like when I was saying earlier about the event, the gospel event looked like a dope boy convention, you yeah. know? And yeah. sometimes it would have you feel like, it would have you feel like, especially being if you're doing urban gospel or holy hip hop or whatever you want to call it these days, that it's a stigma to this is how you're supposed to look like when you rap.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Compare, like if I was doing a John P. Key or Fred Hammond. Mm-hmm. See, they're not going to expect that. They expect something else because that's traditional and yeah. you know what I mean? But when you're talking about doing what we do, it's already a stigma there.
Yeah.
And it's always, and it's even a stigma that said just because you do contemporary gospel mm-hmm. that or rap or whatever, that you got the, especially in our culture, that you, it's only for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's hard to get away from that because the stigma is because you connected to that, you know, to that stigma. If you hip hop, you got to have a gold chain. Yeah. You got to have a muscle. You got to dress urban, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
and so on and so on, in order for people to respond to you. And yeah. and I used to be like, I used to have the gold chain. Well, I was doing, that was me anyway, but I kind of put more emphasis on it, you know, and then I had to realize as I got mature, that it's not about what's on you. It's about what's in you. Amen. You know what I mean? yeah.
So yeah. when you were doing the holy hip hop, the gospel rap, mm-hmm. you were rocking a gold chain then?
I had two gold chains. Wow. Two chains. I had a two chain. I had a gold thing. Everything I wore. Like, I was already about that life anyway, because I'm hip hop. So I'm all, you know, dressing like that, but it just pushed the envelope even further
yeah.
because I felt like I had to, like, this is another way that I connected, that I can connect with them. Yeah. Now, understanding I'm already that, but you don't have to push the envelope, yeah. you know, but at the same time, that's why you see people that might got gray hair, they dye it or they cut it off, whatever, because they still trying to, you know, reach their certain audience.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Christ, the anointing is what destroy the yokes, not your yeah. clothes.
Yeah.
So,
man, you dropping nuggets and just the
courage. What?
Let, yeah. Let no. let the gospel speak for itself, man.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, like you mentioned, that people come to conclusions. Basically, we talked about. And Tatiana and I talked about this last week about biases. So mm-hmm. what's something people assume about you that's completely wrong?
Oh, man, everything. No, not everything. But it just depends, man. Some people, I don't know, man, because I really try not to be, I don't know. Some people might, I don't know, man. Some people might think I really don't know, because I try not to feed into to that as much, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, just since I've known you from day one, you're like one of the humblest brothers I know.
Oh, man. God.
But when you hear, you know, what you're delivering, the mm-hmm. flow and all, I could see people thinking this guy might be a certain way, like aloof, you know, unapproachable. But when you anyone who knows you, they agree with me, man. You just really keep it real. You really heart's in the right place. You really want to, you know, make a difference. And I see why you and G are real tight, because he's another brother like that as well.
Ah, man, that's my brother, man.
Yeah, he's good people, man. Yeah.
And that could be it too. I can probably see that, you know, because of, you know, I give it now. Some people might, yeah, because I used to wear shades a lot. I still do. So yeah. I always wore shades, man. And I remember I always wear shades. Like if it always, that's just what I do. So that could come off kind of, you know, like, man, you always wearing shades. At night you wear shades, in the rain you wear shades, you know. So I have heard someone say that they thought I was conceited because I always walk around with shades on.
Yeah.
But that's just, I just love wearing shades.
And that's a good explanation, man. But it's good because, you know, we often jump to conclusions, man. That's what we are as humans. We see people and our brains automatically make assumptions, you know, and you know, sometimes we're spot on, sometimes we're wrong, but in that case, definitely, man, we're definitely wrong. Those who jump to that conclusion, you know, who are you trying to reach with your music that the church might be missing out on?
The lost.
Yeah.
The one, I mean, I want to reach, you know, everybody really, but like the lost, people that is going through things, encouraging, inspirational, you know what I mean? One thing I learned about hip, that I'm learning about hip hop is hip hop gospel, that it's a nuance. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be too street for the church, and then you could be too church for the street. Wow. So you right there in the middle. And if you like right there in the middle, I call it, like, I think our music is more of evangelism than anything. And, you know, evangelistic, you know, that's going out. You know what I mean? So I think more of our, what we do is more of going out to the lost, you know, and ministering to them and bringing them into the marvelous light, you know, let them know that, hey, man, I was just like you, cuz, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. But God came in. If he could do that for me, he could do that for you. Hey, yo, man, you don't got to do that. I feel you. I had a problem with that too. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, put God first. You know what I mean? So it's more of, so me, when I'm writing music, a lot of times it's, you know, I'm going through a lot. So when I go through a lot, I've been going through ever since I've been saying, I'm just gonna throw that out there. So a lot of my music is personal, but as I mature, I learned that what you go through can help someone else. So I pray that whatever that I'm singing and that I'm talking to God through my music, that it can help anyone who, you know, who's out there who needs it. So,
amen. Amen. And you mentioned too street for the church. What does that look like? Give me an example of what's too street for the church. You got me really curious.
Yeah, too street for the church could be your language, how you talk, how you speak. It can be like a lot of times the church, and I'm going by, I'm just going by my experience, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it's politically, you know, you got to speak politically correct, you know. Yeah. I can say the same thing that Fred Hammond say, just on a different level. Like if I put the streets in, if I put this in, I put that in it, and the way that we present it, you know, it's not presentable than it is at the church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then church, you know, it's like I'm saying the same thing. I'm just not having a suit and tie and a robe, saying it a certain way, right? And I'm just giving it to you straight, you know. So I think that's the, and I have problems with that. I'm actually now saying, forget about it. I don't care. I'm doing whatever the Lord, you know, I'm not in school. I'm not in English class in school. Nah, but I used to have a problem with that as far as when I'm presiding or something, like you got to speak or, you know, certain type of, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. But so that's probably what I mean by too street. Like if I let you listen to one of my songs, I don't think they will play it at the church.
Yeah.
We're not telling you, you know, because, you know, some churches might, it might be too street for them. Like, look, I love what you're saying. And it's not, we're not cursing. I'm not cursing, you know, but if I have problems, if I had a problem with strip clubs and I put it in my song and how God delivered me with a strip club, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of, you know, they might not want it. You know what I'm saying? But it's people out here.
Exactly.
Right? Who lost marriages because they, instead of paying the rent, they pay other people. They pay the girls rent on the pole. You know? Yeah. But you know, so that's what I mean by like being too street. It's just too real.
That's a perfect example, brother. And I always remember in this interview Oprah did a few years ago, actually many years ago, and she talked about her success and how the she was always trying to, like, and almost everything, if you think about it, if it's music, if it's acting, there's this model. It's this formula that people will do and say, okay, this is going to push me forward. But when she said, when you learn to be your authentic self, like, you know, people are going to gravitate to what's real. So you don't have to try to be street. But if you really are street and you talk like that, we need to embrace it. And I think people will grab it. The right people will gravitate it towards it. Or, you know, because I always say, I don't want to be that old guy, you know, and they just trying to say, you know, a cool word. That's something cool now. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know really how to insert that in a sentence, you know. and we all see that.
We are cat daddy.
Yeah. What was that?
Two on the backside.
Well, what was that? It was something with a bag of chills. What was that saying?
Guys, I'm all
that in a bag of chills.
Yeah, all that. No, it rhymed. I'm all this in the bag of chips. I can't even remember.
Man,
Yeah.
Y'all Google it, people. Just you.
Yeah. Google that. Yeah. But look, no. Now it's how you say it. Now, man, it's the swag. It's just how you might, because everything is nothing new under the sun. Yeah. So it just now, it's just somebody might say that same phrase, but say it in a different way, and it's back popping again.
Yeah, that's true. They said the way history repeats itself, things are in cycles, man, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So what projects you got next? What are you working on, man?
Oh, man. I'm working on the show that hopefully that we will be doing in June. Absolutely. You know, I got a couple of stuff working. That's in the works, man. Trying to do a tour, a Too Blessed to Be Stressed tour. Wow. You know, it's a lot of, you know, like, it's a lot of stuff, man. I'm just piling up. And when it's time to get it out, I'm gonna get it out. So I'm always in the studio. I'm always working. It's just when God said, okay, it's time to release. So, but right now it's I think that Too Blessed to Be Stressed tour, I might be trying to work that, and that's a project too. So it might have a couple of songs up there, you know.
Cool.
So yeah, hopefully it'll be during the summer. So I might have a mixtape out there during the summer called Hope Boy. It might be either Hope Boy Magic or Hope Boy Summer Season, Summer Hope Boy Summer, something like that. I don't know, but it's coming.
I believe it's coming.
Yeah,
I like the.
But I'm dropping singles though. You can catch it on Miles BT 2G on my YouTube page and my IG page. You know, so I'm dropping singles every other week, at least twice a month or whatever. But you know, the project should hopefully get right. Hopefully by the summer.
I love it. Give me that page. Give us that page again, so our listeners, because I started talking.
Oh,
and make certain they get.
Oh no. Yeah, Miles B2G with a Y. MYLESB, the letter 2, the letter G. You could just Google that and it give you like my SoundCloud, my YouTube, my IG, my Facebook. So, you know, and you should be able to get my Twitter account. Well, it's not Twitter no more. I forgot what it's called. X. Yeah. And my TikTok. So everything is Miles B2G. So I drop like short videos. I drop you know, short songs and, you know, long songs, EPs, whatever. So I'll be dropping songs, you know, every other week, you know, until maybe about June.
Man, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. And let me ask you this. So we share the same producer. Do you have any other producers, or you produce yourself as well? Or,
well, you know, you got G, you know, my boy G Hop, you know, he's one of my producers. I mean, he's actually a part of the whole boy family anyway, you know, without okay. me, without him, it won't be no me. So he's always there. And I got this guy named Super Producer. Shout out to Super. He's up in G Vegas, North Carolina. Super Producer, go check him out. He's dope. And there's some more producers out there. I can't think of the name of it right now, man. But I try to get what I do. I get like a whole bunch of instrumentals, and I go through them, and whatever I choose to use, I just reach out.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, brother, I just want to say I appreciate the collaboration. I'm glad that we're in this together.
You're
one of the most righteous brothers I know. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And the best is yet to come, brother. There's a lot of kingdom business waiting for us.
Word up, man. That's right, man. Kingdom fluence, man. That's what we do. And I'm gonna send you this. I'm gonna send you this track now. I'm gonna let everybody hear it. I'm gonna send you this track. You know, tell me what you think.
I will.
And let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, man.
I'm excited, man.
I think you're gonna like it.
I'm pretty
sure.
There's
a vibe to it.
I tell you what, man, every time I said, hey man, I got this song, I got my lyrics, I need a hook. And you just deliver the hook, man, because been my, like, really, you know, I was like, okay, I can write what comes to me. But I've done a few hooks, but that's really not my thing. But I know whose it is. Hey, Miles, I need a hook for this.
Glory be to God. That's all God, man. I'm so appreciative, man. When you're so appreciative, you do your best, you know? So I'm so appreciative that you know, it's a blessing, man. Just FYI for people that's listening. It's a blessing when we go through so much, and it's a blessing when you have another brother, another sister, someone that looks at you and see great in you. You know what I mean? And then if someone is able to see great in you and ask you to do certain things because they see your talent, your gift, or whatever they're entrusting in you, you know, be thankful and be grateful for that. And they don't only give 100, give 200, you know, because it's a blessing out there. It is a blessing because Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy you, man. He want to, you know, make you feel sometimes that you ain't this, you ain't that. But when you are able to have a physical being, you know what I mean, that is willing to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, can you do, you know, count it all joy, you dig?
Hey, man.
That's just want to throw that out.
Brother, I appreciate you, man. And
I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man. We're going to do what we do, ladies and gentlemen. My boy, Miles B. Miles, thanks.
Yada, yada, me. Yada, yada, me. Yeah, come check me out, Miles B2G. Pushing the kingdom of God. You dig? Hope, boy.
Peace. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.